Hello, Elise Castle.
Hi, Mike Jensen.
Here we are for Four Women and a Funeral.
And I actually get that that's like a funny reference. Hey. Finally. And I finally just got it right now when I looked down on it.
That's fun. So this originally debuted July 4th, 1999.
Independence Day.
Directed by Alan Coulter, so he's back. And written by Jenny Bix.
Jenny Bix is back.
We like her.
The Bix is back.
Solid.
Thank you.
That's a good one. So we have the DVD description. Can a relationship bring you back to life? After attending a fashion designer's funeral, Carrie tries to resuscitate her relationship with Mr. Big. Charlotte falls for a recently widowed man she meets at the cemetery. Samantha finds herself exiled from Manhattan's social scene after raising more than money for charity. And Miranda starts having panic attacks after buying her own apartment. So we begin with the two times when it's okay to wear the little black dress in daylight.
One involves leaving a party way too late. The other involves leaving the party way too early. The New York funeral.
Or, I thought, an Elphaba audition. Because if you've ever been to a Wicked open call, there's many a black dress.
Well, this was 1999, so that didn't exist yet. But okay. Now there are three times.
Or a Phantom of the Opera audition for the role of Madame Giry.
Okay, that one too. So we get to the, we have a funeral that they're going to for Javier, mm-hmm. who is a designer.
Yes.
Samantha arrives wearing one of his outfits.
Wow, isn't it a little wrong to wear a dead man's designs to his own funeral?
It's wrong not to.
Which I'm kind of confused as to what Javier designs, because Samantha comes in like a church lady outfit, right? Like an Easter Sunday business suit with a full hat. But then when we get to the funeral and discover that everyone's wearing Javier, it's some of that and some of like club kids.
Yeah, he does a wide range of clothing.
Right.
Or maybe it's just like different seasons.
Yeah.
Or maybe some of the club kids have like accessorized. Yeah, it is a lot of different things. Because it starts out looking very classic.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's kind of all over the place.
Right. And then one person is just like dressed up as the Joker. They do like a quick pan over it.
Yeah. There are some pretty interesting looking people. I don't know why like the Friday Night at Bond Street reference like jumped out at me.
My friend used to be a host there.
I was once not sober there.
Did they let you stay?
They did. Oh, I sat down at a large party that was not my party and admired their food. And they offered me some and I didn't take any because I was classy and I got up and went to my own table.
That's weird.
It was kind of weird. I'm still waiting for the sushi, though.
That's the thing about New York. You're always more popular when you're not around.
Is that true?
Well, that's what they say about the funeral and about like how the price of Javier's designs. Samantha comments on like how the price has just gone up. I mean, I guess that's true because there won't be any more of it.
Right.
But that's not true either because like Versace and, you know, Alexander McQueen, like all these designers, they still make their...
Or in this case...
Josefina was Javier's sister and heir apparent to the Javier industry. In a day, she had gone from ugly duckling to Donatella Versace.
You're smoking at a funeral?
Javier would have wanted it that way.
Also, it's a Marlboro box, which there's a fun thing that happens in this episode. So at this moment, it's a Marlboro box. I'm like, they definitely had a meeting about this where they were like, Carrie, continuity here.
Yeah.
And then Samantha gets the idea here to really bank on the Javier house.
Samantha jumps right in because she's excited to get all the 212 numbers.
Right, the unlisted 212 numbers.
212 was a big deal once mm-hmm. upon a time. That was the New York area code before cell phones came along.
Well, and I have a friend who took his 212 number that was his landline and now has it on his cell phone.
You can do that?
I think if you don't have a land, I mean, yeah.
That's remarkable. I don't think I ever had a 212. I think even my landline when I moved here was a 917.
Yeah, so he has a 212 cell phone number, and he's one of the only people I...
That's pretty remarkable. No, 212, like businesses mm-hmm. a lot of times still have 212 numbers because the lines have been around for so long. But
right.
212 for a personal number, that is quite a feat.
Congrats.
Congrats on your 212. A breeze comes along that Charlotte is unprepared for. You see her sort of like look for it though, mm-hmm. where she's like, oh, what's going to happen? Is my hat going to fly off?
A light in the piazza moment. Musical theater friends will get that.
And her hat flies off and we get to Ned.
Ned, who's at the grave of his wife, Elizabeth Todd. I wonder if that's a relative of Mary Todd.
Probably. The long line of Todds.
Mm-hmm. Ned including is your cockapoo.
That's a first name. Ned is played by Kurt Deutsch, married to Sharon A. Scott.
Sherry Renee Scott. Yes. I thought you said Sharon A. Scott. Sherry and I was like, Renee Scott. I don't know anybody.
Co-founder of Shikaboom Records. He didn't. He did the acting thing for quite a while, and then I think he decided to focus on the music business, which right. is what they primarily do. But there he is. Charlotte. So then we get to the... Charlotte likes the dead wife factor for some reason. Right. She thinks it's a good sign.
That he's... I think she... You know, Charlotte hasn't... Charlotte's been kind of struggling with finding, like, sensitive men, and I think maybe that's what it is. That was at least my opinion on it.
Yeah, because at least he's been married.
Right.
He's been married. I mean, it shows he can commit.
Then date a divorce guy. They've committed, and everyone's still alive.
And then this was the moment when I realized, well, did Miranda not know Javi? Or what
yeah, I did. Thing? I thought about that, too, that it was the three of them going, that there must be some reason why Miranda wasn't involved.
Right.
Interesting.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, yeah, maybe she just never, you know, was as close.
And Charlotte's going because Carrie had a plus one.
Right. And Samantha's taken aback by the fact that I just didn't... I guess at like a VIP funeral, there's invitations.
Right. It does seem like anyone could kind of show up at a gravesite.
Yeah. So they're in the cab where Carrie lights another cigarette out of a soft pack of Merit's.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird.
Yeah.
She's mixing it up.
Yeah, so I meant... to, and maybe I will, but I don't want to ruin the fun. I wanted to Google if anyone else has noticed the cigarette conspiracy of Carrie Bradshaw, or am I like really opening up a new case here?
You might be. So in this conversation about, you know, divorce guys versus married guys, we get to Big pretty quickly.
Right.
Well, it didn't work for Big. All that marriage did was convince him he hated committing.
Carrie, you broke up with him.
Oh, so I'm the one with the commitment problem?
So we're bringing Big back into the picture.
And then we cut to Miranda.
Yeah, Miranda's house hunting.
House hunting. Which the funny thing I thought about this, so she's house hunting. I'm not sure exactly where she's house hunting. You know.
I do.
Where?
It's Upper West Side.
It is the Upper West Side. Okay. At one point, it does flash to a street that I thought was a double digit, so I assumed it was.
Yeah, I tried to like pause it and see. I feel like maybe it's 83rd.
Right. But so she's on the Upper West Side. And this realtor is saying, like, such a big apartment for just you, and keeps saying, like, is it just you? Wow, this will be such... I'm like, aren't you trying to sell the apartment?
I know. It is pretty funny. And the credit that I will give to this part of the storyline is I will say I have a sister who, when she went through a divorce, literally, like, anytime she would do anything, it felt like someone would say just you to her. Like when she would like check in at a hotel or when she would go to like make a reservation, she would always get the just you or a is your husband coming? Like
oh, weird.
Constantly. So it is kind of a real thing.
Yeah.
But no, I do understand. And also like real estate lady, don't tell her the house is too big for her.
Right. You'll get more commission. I don't know. That didn't make sense to me. Who plays the real estate lady?
Cool. Barbara Spiegel.
Is the realtor. Barbara's the realtor. And she was in Tootsie. Barbara was in Tootsie, and you were just gonna, like, let it go. She's also done a lot of stuff recently. Barbara, I think you're great. I think you should have tried to sell that apartment.
Such a big apartment to buy for just you. Maybe the boyfriend will move in?
No, no boyfriend. Just me.
So we get to Carrie, who starts questioning her life.
Well, she's smoking a cigarette, and she puts the ashtray on her bed. I don't like that. She needs a cordless phone, too, while we're at it.
And, of course, when you question your life, you automatically start thinking about your ex, I guess.
Right, which is just because, well, because you're like, well, if I have a relationship, that's some sort of stability, so I might as well right. just get a relationship again.
So Carrie calls Big.
Do you want to have dinner sometime?
I'd like to have dinner any old time. Who am I having dinner with?
Me.
Well, you know, in that case, I better check my book.
Hanging up now.
Oh, fine. Saturday, 8 o'clock, Roberto's. Be there or be square.
God, you're old.
Roberto's. Now, I did some research on Roberto's, too. So there's a Roberto's in the Bronx, which I'm assuming isn't where they're going. And then I found a reference to a Roberto's on Gold Street, which is way downtown Manhattan. I don't think it exists anymore, though. So I went to the website, and it looked like almost like a website for, hey, if you want this website. It was very, very odd.
Okay.
So I don't know if Roberto's actually exists, but if it was the one in Manhattan, yeah, it was it would be way downtown.
So they make that date, and then Samantha starts working her PR magic.
Yeah, she meets up with Richard Cranwell.
Richard Cranwell creeps me out from the get-go.
Well, he creeps me out, and I also, it's just that thing of, do you have no impulse control? Like,
none.
You have to go
yeah.
right to, like, now we're gonna...
Either one of them.
Yeah, either one of them. It's very odd. And it's, I mean, not to be rude, but it's not like he's, like, smoking hot. It's not like
no,
she's like, oh, I gotta
out.
Get this
he
guy.
He creeps me out.
She just literally is like, well, I guess we're gonna make out now because that's what I do.
Right.
And then, of course, the wife walks in.
Yeah, Sandy.
Sandy walks in.
And she just goes, get out.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, Dick's done this before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, this
like,
isn't this, this isn't
is
the first time.
Yeah, this is something he's done quite a few times. And Miranda has to, like, walk by Sandy.
And then we get to Miranda meeting with the mortgage guy, Seth Barish. And we have the just you again.
Just you, and you have to check the box saying single woman.
In the course of 1 hour, Miranda had checked more single women's boxes than her gynecologist.
Which I thought of Mike.
I don't know what that means.
Because this is, like, a behind-the-scenes fact, but every time Mike edits the episode, he will text me and say, new episode's in the box, meaning our Dropbox, and I tell him to stop talking about my box.
Which means I've literally stopped saying it, because every time I say it, you say it back. So now I'm just like, the episode is available for you to listen to.
Wow. I thought it was just a fun joke we were having. I was looking forward to it, and now he just ruined it. I guess I've hurt his feelings. This is weird. But this also reminded me of this moment when I did my taxes a couple years ago on TurboTax for the first time. And it was the same thing. I was like, if I have to tell this computer that I'm single one more time.
You would think they could carry that through.
Right.
Like,
can't
how many
just,
times
like,
do you have to say that you're right. single?
Have you ever been married? Were you married for part of 2015?
You're just like, no.
No.
I am not married, nor have I ever been.
Right, nor will I ever be. We don't know that.
We don't know that. So we have the four ladies out to eat.
I'm telling you, if I was a single man, none of this would be happening.
We find out that Charlotte rents.
Mm-hmm.
She purposefully rents, though. So Charlotte is of the mind that if you're a single woman, you should not own your apartment, because that throws the power structure off, and no man will ever want to be with you.
If you own and he still rents, then the power structure is all off. It's emasculating. Men don't want a woman who's too self-sufficient.
Is that true?
No.
No, that's crazy, right? I mean, there are men who like women who aren't dependent upon them.
Right. But I think Charlotte is very, I hate to use this word, but very traditional when it comes to a lot of things.
Yeah.
And Samantha has this moment where she talks about Miranda, and she goes, if you were a single man, I'd date you. And then she looks around the table like she's just made the best joke.
I didn't notice
and
that.
It's like, so number one, it's not a good joke, and also it's exactly what Samantha would say.
Right.
I don't know, it just made me laugh because she's like like looks around and then she picks up the tab secretly, and then
her card is declined.
Yeah, the hostess I think is the one who
takes
it up. Yeah,
something like that. Now this, there are a lot of things about this. Like, so what we're establishing here is that because of what Samantha did
with Dick
at the Cranwells, yeah, that she has been kind of blacklisted from society. It does feel like the purpose is a bit defeated if
right.
they were allowed to sit and eat their food.
But there,
I would have been like, free food, awesome.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
My card isn't accepted here. Okay. I don't know. It seems like kind of a weird. Also,
yeah, like,
does
that's
someone
like
have that kind of power?
Right. Like, that's like when you go out to eat with, like, your parents and you try to pay and they're like, your money's no good here. Like, that's kind of what it was.
Yeah. Right. I feel like they should be kind of like, cool. That's awesome. Great.
Yeah,
thanks
great.
For picking up the check.
Thanks, Sandy.
Charlotte goes out to drinks with Ned.
Mm-hmm. And then he opens up his wallet and a picture of his deceased wife is there, but I'm like, why does his deceased wife have school photos? It's just like a perfectly posed, like, with the background, like
maybe they went to like a Sears,
an Olin Mills
yeah
photo, like, or like a church photo, but it was weird.
On the walk home, Ned breaks down, but he's clearly not that upset.
No,
because they get to kissing.
Yeah, and it's like, It's like little kisses, but they're really gross kind of looking, and then they and like, he's really like, get into
he's
it.
He's like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
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 Oh. It's like weird. Yeah, and then they go back to his house and have sex.
Do the deed under the watchful eye. That's creepy.
Yeah, that was weird. And then...
three ladies go on a walk.
Yeah.
Red blazer.
That is... it's an interesting choice.
It's sort of all that I can look at in this scene. Is I'm just like, red blazer.
And it's very triangular. Like, yeah. The shoulder pads are so extreme. It's Carrie's red blazer, yes. By the way. Are so extreme that it, like, just comes to a perfect point. And then I wrote down, who says the don't fuck my husband? You.
Oh, Miranda. It's so... good. So first Miranda's first thought is just rebound. Like, this
right.
is rebound
sex.
That you're having. And then Charlotte brings up how it's a sign.
My hat blew right into her headstone. She was clearly sending a message.
Yeah, don't fuck my husband, you hat-loving bitch.
I love that quote, and I think that's like the title of a Jerry Springer episode. Remember how the Jerry Springer episodes would be like, yeah, I'm doing my sister's brother's mom's friend, which would be like your mom's friend.
Don't fuck my
husband. Fuck her.
You hat-loving bitch. That's a really good line. Jenny Bix.
Yeah, I could have come up with a better Springer title than the one I just gave.
Yeah. It's really, really good. So that's the clear message. Carrie's getting ready to go out, and this is when we get the question.
In a world where everyone is dying to make a connection, can a relationship bring you back to life? I didn't like this question.
Well, one thing that we haven't necessarily broken down in the past is that in addition to a question, every episode does have a theme.
Okay.
So the theme of this, if we're gonna have like the simplest theme of this episode, it is death.
Right.
You know, or you know, death, resurrection, that kind of thing is sort of, everyone kind of deals with that a little bit.
And this was also the first time I noticed there were no interviews.
No interviews.
It went right to like a moment with Big.
Yeah. No interviews, no talking to the camera.
Yeah. I don't know. It was, I guess, I don't know if these are going to stop forever, the interviews, but this was the first moment where there was no interviews.
So we get them out at dinner. Carrie says that she believes in reincarnation.
Mm-hmm.
Big thinks that's like the easy way. Is that what he says?
Or? Yeah. And they're like kind of making out while eating dinner together.
Not quite. Like their faces don't quite touch. They're doing this sort of
she's
flirty.
She's like, I'm not going to sleep with you tonight.
Bantery. Yeah. Though, of course, then we end up back at Big's place.
Right.
Not quite in the door, though. They're kind of making out in the doorway. And I don't know if we've seen this before, but one thing on sets that I think is always interesting, there's that, like, little window next to his front door.
Okay.
It must be, like, a window to the hallway.
All right.
Do apartments ever actually have that? It's like, there's sometimes in film or TV, the person's front door for their apartment will be a glass door. And I think that's so weird.
I've never noticed that. But also, like, Big has a lot of money.
He has a lot of money.
So he doesn't live in apartments like we do.
Yeah, but that's still the hallway to get to his place out there.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, and even in, like, luxury buildings, I guess I don't.
It's an interesting feature.
I don't know.
I don't think so. No, I think he's, like, in a building. And I think that window, like, it's an opaque window. You can't see through it. But it's there, like from his, whatever that entranceway is to the hallway. It's just an interesting detail that I notice because sometimes they do that in sets and I wonder if there's any place that actually has that kind of a thing.
Right.
It's sort of like in doors, like my door doesn't have it here, but certain doors that you can tell once upon a time there was like a pane of glass above
them. Yeah.
Which I just think is interesting.
And then she decides she's not going to do this and she leaves his house.
Yeah, Carrie leaves.
Leaves him with blue balls.
You're really concerned about that.
No, I'm not concerned. I'm just saying that's what she does.
Yeah.
And then she walks viciously home with a cigarette, really distraught.
We cut to Samantha getting rejected everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Across town, Samantha was facing her own uncertain future.
Check it again, Samantha Jones.
Sorry.
So she tries to get into a club.
Is the last place a restaurant? It looked almost like a funeral, but I think it is a restaurant.
It was probably, is that the one where the
where
host
like, I'll
is like,
wait.
Yeah, and then the hostess is super rude, but then, like, turns around and is really nice to the other. I'm like, people could probably see you being rude to that woman and wonder why.
I'm sorry, we're all full.
I'll wait for a table.
Don't bother.
Miranda meets a neighbor. Susan Willis is her name.
Mm-hmm.
She's just a great, like, New York character. Like, she just looks like a New York character.
Yeah, and she also kind of looks like the way her hair is in the moment, she looks like a villain on, like, Return to Avonlea.
Okay.
Like, she has the, like, she looks like a mean woman, like a mean, the mean town.
You can tell that she probably, general store worker. You wonder if she mostly played, like, harsh women.
Like harsh school marms.
Yeah, but she's kind of fun in this.
Well, I'm so glad to have a young person moving in. Brings a little life to the place.
And sort of like throws some shade at the old man that walks behind her.
Right, and lets Miranda know that the previous tenant died in the apartment yeah. and that the previous tenant's cat ate half her face.
Yeah, that's a lot of information to give your new neighbor who hasn't even moved in yet. She's right. just taking measurements.
Yeah, so...
But we do establish now that Miranda has a cat.
Yeah. Well, so didn't we know that?
Well, I don't know if we knew that she had one. We knew that she used I need to feed my cat.
Oh, okay.
As like a way to get out of a situation. But I don't know that we knew that she actually had a cat.
Now, do you like her more since you are like so pro cat people for someone who doesn't have a cat? And then she goes back to her apartment and is eating her Chinese food out of the Chinese food container.
And chokes.
And chokes. Well, first she overfeeds the cat because she does not want her cat to eat her yeah. face. And then she starts to choke.
And this is scary.
Like, I got, well, this is the first time in my life. I don't live alone. I have roommates, but I'm home alone often. And I've never thought of that. And I was like, oh my God, what do? When I choke on my
Yeah, I have not food. Experienced it to that extent, but I experienced a bit of that once when like I began to choke on a piece of food and was able to, you know, fairly quickly dislodge it. But it's a scary moment. Like it is yeah. that scary thing of like, I need to chew more.
I think you're supposed to go behind a chair.
Yeah, you're supposed to go behind a chair. That's how you Heimlich yourself. She does it on like a box, I right. think.
And then she calls Carrie right away, which I was wondering if you were going to get teary-eyed about this.
Not yet.
But you will.
Wait for it.
And she calls Carrie and just lets her know that she almost died.
Carrie's screening, though, mm-hmm. which is another thing that...
We don't do anymore.
We don't do anymore.
Yeah.
I was watching Hard Copy, and I kept thinking when they found me, I would forever be the dead girl who watched bad TV.
Well, why didn't you call me?
I couldn't breathe!
Which is like... Before caller ID, where you would just start leaving the message and right. then they would pick up. And then she goes back to watching Hard Copy, which I was like, I want to watch Hard Copy. I watch a lot of 2020 and Dateline and 48 Hours.
But isn't Hard Copy kind of terrible? Or is it journalism?
It would just be like something I would add to the routine of shows, I guess. I mean, I'm not someone who watches like, you know, classic film. I can watch some stuff that's not that great. And then she went to bed hungry and locked the cat in the kitchen for 2 days. What did the cat do?
It's a new space. Sometimes cats
are you okay with that?
It's fine. The cat's fine.
See, you're weird when it comes to cats. I don't really get it. But then we meet Shippy Shipman.
Shippy Shipman.
Shippy Shipman was the queen of the ladies who lunch and was personally responsible for the demise of at least 70 socialites.
Ellen Toby, I think is what her name is.
Okay.
Once again, I mean... Just Shippy Shipman. You just win when you get cast as Shippy Shipman.
Yeah, it's
like.
Really great. And Shippy Shipman really quickly says,
I believe you were the whore who once groped my husband at a Whitney benefit.
And my original thought was like, Whitney Houston? But it wasn't. It's the Whitney Museum.
Yeah.
Because Whitney Houston wouldn't, like, she wasn't deceased at that moment.
Correct.
So, like, what would the benefit? I don't know. It was just my moment. No. I was like, ooh, Whitney.
It's the Whitney Museum.
Yeah.
And then we just have Samantha's speech.
Look, what do you want me to say, Shippy?
Just her reading of just the word whore.
That I'm a whore? That I've slept with every man in New York and some in Brooklyn?
I'm like, Brooklyn is in New York. And what about Queens? The Bronx? Staten Island.
I will not say that I'm one of those people that just says that Manhattan is New York, but a lot of people, when they refer to New York, they mean Manhattan. And they probably even more so in 1999. I don't think there was as much of like the outer boroughs going on at that point.
Yeah, I guess, but I just think it's like...
Outer borough person.
No, but she's saying like every man in New York. New York is also a state. She didn't even say New York City.
I'm gonna just guess that she meant Manhattan.
I understand that, but she didn't use the right... phrases. And my trash cans in Queens say the city of New York.
Okay. It's a good speech.
It's a good speech.
She asked
not
for,
geographically correct.
She asked for Shippy's help and Shippy's not going to help her.
Will you help me? I don't think so.
So Miranda's going for a walk around her new neighborhood. Yeah, I think it's the 80s.
Yeah, but what happens? She's, like, about to pass out and almost gets hit by a cab. I didn't understand this.
The next day, Miranda decided to check out her new neighborhood. But suddenly, she was the one checking out.
Well, I don't know.
We find out that she has a panic attack.
I felt like I was drowning and dying at the same time.
Sweetie, they said you had a panic attack.
A $5,000 panic attack.
I think it was just $500.
And I had to pay $500 of my single person salary to find that out.
And yeah, you can see that I just wrote, I heart this scene. It's so good, and I quote it a lot. And it's beautiful. It's just like great work from Cynthia Nixon.
Mm-hmm. I'm all alone, Carrie. The first people on my call in case of emergency list are my parents, and I don't like them, and they live in Pennsylvania.
Oh, sweetie, you can put me on there.
I can't! You screamed!
This was actually one of the first moments where I was like, oh, the acting's really good. Yeah. Like, she's a really good actress.
Yeah, super into this scene. I think it's beautiful. We go to Charlotte at the graveyard, and I, as many times as I have watched this scene, I still don't fully understand what's happening.
No, she's supposed to, they're having like a memorial moment for the ex, Elizabeth Todd Lincoln, and she shows up with like the most funeral looking flowers ever, but apparently they were Lizzie Todd's favorites, lilies. And then this whole parade of other women with lilies are getting out of these black cars.
It's so bizarre. And I guess the point of this is just that he's invited other women, which is how we find out that he's not exclusive, which is how we find out that she didn't bring him back to life, that there are many other. But it's just weird. Because what are the other women doing? Like,
yeah,
they
and they're
don't
okay
care.
With it?
It's
yeah,
just such
it's
a bizarre.
Very weird.
I've never fully understood
yeah,
this
it's
scene.
Very weird. It's and then she gets in one of those cars just like, well, I guess they'll take me. I don't know.
She beats him with the flowers and then walks away. Once again, the other women are just unfazed. It's a super weird scene, but it brings that storyline to an end. So, okay.
Yeah, I guess that one didn't work out. So now we've closed out everyone's storyline
except for
Carrie's.
Yeah, and Samantha. We have a little more Samantha because yeah. we have a wheelbarrow transition.
Oh, that's right. Where the wheelbarrow of the... I saw this and I thought...
That's none.
And I was like, Mike's going to notice this. Yeah. And then I was like, I noticed it too, Mike. Look at me. I'm noticing more than just like...
Bucket
dick
hats.
Jokes and bucket okay. hats.
Yeah, so we cut from the wheelbarrow in the cemetery to the wheelbarrow where Samantha is putting in manual labor because it's the only thing that she's being allowed to do.
No one would return her phone calls. She hadn't raised any money. All she could do for Javier House was construct it.
Yeah, so she's working. And this is a weird Leonardo DiCaprio moment. Can you explain this to me? I don't know what's happening.
Well, first of all, yeah, so in the scene, it's a sort of... being saved by someone, and okay. they obviously couldn't use the actual person.
That day, Leonardo and Samantha became fast friends. The nightmare was over. Leonardo DiCaprio had brought Sam back to social life.
Now, when this episode originally aired, that was not Leonardo DiCaprio. Originally on HBO, that was John F. Kennedy Jr. who rescues her. And the actor who plays that role looks more like John F. Kennedy Jr. than like Leonardo DiCaprio. They changed it because between this airing on HBO and the DVDs coming out, John F. Kennedy Jr. had passed away. And I remember there being a little bit of pushback of people saying, why change it? Like,
right.
he was alive at the time this happened. It's actually kind of like a lovely moment that you're giving this person who's no longer with us. So I don't really know what the thought process was in changing that. And I don't know if that makes it make any more sense. But yeah.
No, I didn't understand. Yeah, I was just like, am I missing something? Like,
it's just supposed to imply that this person who is a celebrity is reaching out to Samantha and somehow this is going to transition into her getting her footing back in society. That because she's made a connection
okay.
with this person, she will be allowed back into her old life.
Yeah, I feel like so much of the show is not no longer relevant, but like there's so many people that, like, why would they just change that? Maybe, I don't, because it was closer to the time when it...
It was closer to the time. I mean, you know, we're going to get there eventually where the opening credits are going to change, where Sarah Jessica Parker's name is not going to appear with the Twin Towers in the background, which is how the opening credits have been up until now. They're gonna switch some stuff around.
This is like when my mom sat me down and told me about puberty. Things are going to change,
things
Elise.
Are going to change for you, Elise. Yeah, and I, on one hand, kind of get it, particularly, I suppose, with the Twin Towers, because they was a jarring thing to see for a minute.
Right.
Even now, there are moments when you see it, and it's still kind of, you know, a little bit of PTSD there. So I don't know. I see what the point was, and I also kind of feel like they probably could have left it the way that it was. Yeah. They probably could have left it with JFK Jr. But that's, so there's a little behind the scenes there. Miranda is labeled as separated.
Labeled as separated, so she has to write this letter stating again that she's single. And this was actually the moment when I was like, oh God, this is like me doing my taxes. Uh-huh. But she kind of has like this liberating moment.
Yeah, that she gets to the other side of it and it actually is sort of freeing.
Right.
They actually say that it puts her panic attacks to bed.
Right.
So it ends up being a good thing of her sort of...
We're only as sick as our secrets.
There you go.
So does that mean if I just start writing letters to everyone I know saying I'm single, I won't have panic attacks anymore?
Maybe. Cool. Couldn't hurt.
Couldn't hurt. Everyone who gets a Christmas card this year will also just get a handwritten letter saying I am single. Unless I'm not single by Christmas. I'm supposed to be married by November. So hopefully I'm not single by Christmas, or else that was a short wedding.
So we have Big showing up at Carrie's.
Good. You're alive.
We've established that he's called a few times, that she hasn't returned the call.
I'm sorry.
You should be.
So, yeah, I think that he's kind of annoyed and is like, all right, you're alive. That's all that I needed to know. I'm going to go ahead and leave. And then Carrie's like, oh, no, don't go. And then they just
We're
going out. And they go to Bullmore Lanes.
Yay, I'm now going there tomorrow.
You are?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun. Why?
Mike's face just went, why? It's my friend's birthday.
Oh, okay. Are you going to that location?
I don't know. Which one are they at?
I'm guessing that's the Union Square. I feel like this was back
when
that
was... closed down.
Oh, was it not even there anymore?
The one that's on, like, University Place?
Yeah.
Yeah, no mas.
Oh, that's so funny. I'm pretty sure that's where this is, because that's where... I think that's where the only one was.
Yeah. At the time. We're going to the one... I think there's one in Chelsea Piers.
There is.
Yeah, I think that's where we're going.
I've been to that one, too.
Mike and I actually, one night... we were walking through Times Square with our friend Ben, and Ben was being very sassy to us.
Uh-huh.
And he does not going to listen to this, so that's fine.
It won't matter.
And we were walking down the street, and I saw a big sign that said arcade. So I was like, you guys, we have to go in the arcade. And it was actually the Bullmore.
Yeah.
And we had so much fun in the arcade.
And it saved our friendship.
It saved everyone's friendship. The argument, I'm going to talk about it. We don't have to say what his response was, but the argument we were having is that Serendipity does not have kids' menus, the restaurant Serendipity. And Mike and I were kind of like, well, yeah, I mean, I think it's like a whimsy restaurant, but it's not like necessarily a children's restaurant. And his argument was that it is a children's restaurant. Which they have ice cream, so it's just a children's restaurant.
It was a ridiculous argument that almost ended our friendship.
Yeah, everyone's friendship.
Everyone's in New York.
Mm-hmm.
But Bullmore Lanes brought it back.
Bullmore Lanes brought it back. There's one game that's really fun that involves throwing bean bags.
We were sore the next day.
Yeah, I won a big kazoo.
You did. Oh, fun. That face is mostly because I'm jealous that you're going to Bullmore Lanes.
Okay.
But anyway, we'll go back again.
Yeah,
someday.
We'll go back on Mondays because I have more tickets.
Dear listeners, I literally have no idea how to transition back into the episode from our far too long conversation about Bullmore Lanes. So just consider this the transition. Just you.
And they had two pitchers of beer, Carrie and Big.
Yes, and we get right into the flirty.
Okay, 2 out of 3.
You want to play a second game, huh?
Maybe.
Are you sure you're ready to get killed all over again?
I didn't know what we were talking about anymore. But either way, I knew the answer. Yep.
Dum, dum, dum.
So we're dum, back. Dum, 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 dum. Big
Carrie
and Carrie.
And Big. Surprise. Yeah. Big
Round
surprise
two.
There. Round two. So this, yeah, we should start keeping track. So this is the first breakup, get back together.
Correct.
Because I just have a feeling this is going to happen again.
I don't know what gives you that feeling.
What gives me that idea, but I just, I don't know. Well, I'm already mad she broke things off with Ben because that was perfect.
Yeah.
That was magic. That was perfection. That could have happened, but she was crazy and smoked in his fridge. So it didn't.
Brought that one to an end. So here we go.
Here we
Chapter
are.
Two, Big and Carrie.
Chapter two, Big and Carrie.
We'll see how this one goes.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll last through the end of season two.
We'll see.
That's my bet. My bet is that Big and Carrie, but I don't know, that would be weird to end every season with a breakup. So maybe, what episode was this? Episode 4?
This is episode 5.
Episode 5. So I'm going to say season 2, how many season episodes are there?
There are 18 episodes in this
so
season.
So my guess is going to be season 2, episode 16, because that gives us an episode. So they break up on episode 16. We have episode 17 where she does something that's like, wild and flirty and free. And then we have episode 18 where she starts to miss him again. A cliffhanger. That's my guessing.
All right. I will not comment on it, but we'll keep track as we go along. Those are my predictions. Those are East Castle's predictions.
Oh, also I wanted to say really quickly that since I'm starting to know these women a bit more, Miranda makes a comment to the realtor, and I forgot to say this earlier, where she says, like, just you? And she says, I have a lot of shoes. And that just did not strike me as a Miranda thing to say.
Yeah, that's funny. I definitely bumped up on that, too. I think she's kidding.
Okay. Because I saw that, and I was like, oh, wait, but Miranda, you're supposed to be, like, you have three pairs of shoes.
Right.
You have, like, your sneakers and your winter boots that you seem to wear with your snowsuit a lot, and then you have like your working girl heel,
right?
Not like working girl, but like business,
which I almost imagine you have like in your drawer at work,
right?
That you put on when you get behind your
desk.
And
they have like a platformy short heel that are in style now, but are really just more for comfort.
Yeah, it is sort of an un-Miranda like moment, but yeah. I think she was kidding.
All right, well, let's see if my predictions are true. Let's see if I'm the Nostradamus of Sex and the City.
All right, good times, good episode.
Sylvia
we'll be back
Brown.
Next week.
You can visit us at WeCouldn'tHelpButWonder.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, all at WeCouldn'tHelpButWonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBWPodcast. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at Mikey Jensen. Special thanks to Patrick Hines. Make sure you check out TheaterPodcastProductions.com to see all the work that he does. We would love if you would share this podcast with someone. Put a link on Facebook or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review. We'll be back next week with The Cheating Curve.
Should I say my sister? I'll say my sister, I guess. I'm like outing my sister as a divorced woman. She just doesn't listen to this.
I love that whole thing, and I want you to put that at the end of the episode. I don't know. You can't just bypass over someone's credit who is on Tootsie.
It's true. There's no way I'm leaving this in. But I once knew someone who thought that if you gave a guy blue balls, the only way he could get rid of them is if you had sex with him.
Oh.
That's not true, ladies, just in case you
know. She must have been in like a really uncomfortable relationship where he told her that. The body doesn't have like a barcode system. It's not going to be like, same woman must be getting you relief. No, you can just finish that one yourself, sir.
Yeah. Okay.
And don't then she goes home. Yeah, and well, you're not leaving it in, so they don't care. What song is that? Is it Spiderwebs? By No Doubt, where she says,
I have to screen my phone calls.
Yeah, screen my phone calls.
At least we'll always find an excuse to sing. With her lovely voice.
No, it's not. It's me singing moderately off key to Gwen Stefani. Shippy doesn't care. Shippy don't give a shit. Shippy's like the honey badger. She screens her phone calls.
Exactly.
Can you put part of that song in this?
Sure.
Sorry, I'm not home right now, Mr. Big, go home.